Well, we're going to get started with the next session here on defining New Covenant theology. Now, you guys have probably been seeing this chart quite a bit, but it's important because it's kind of a map of understanding these theological frameworks. And we started by looking at areas of theological hermeneutics and frameworks that lean toward discontinuity and the story of redemption. And this is known as dispensationalism. And we talked about that there's been a development over time of this school of thought from classic dispensationalism to revised dispensationalism, and then in more modern times, progressive dispensationalism. And then on the other side, systems that lend more toward continuity are under the covenantalism category. And these are Christian Reconstructionism, covenant theology, which we talked quite a bit about the last two sessions, and then progressive covenantalism. And we're interested in talking about this way of looking at Scripture, a framework called New Covenant theology. And it falls here toward the continuity side a little bit. And the best representation of this school of thought is known as progressive covenantalism. And so we're going to be talking about that. But let's talk about covenantalism one more time to get a running start on this. The tenets of a covenantalism sort of framework are, first, that there is one people of God, that Israel and the church are in some way connected. Now, in dispensational thinking, Israel and the church stand apart. And then in a certain type of covenantalism, as we talked about covenant theology, Israel and the church actually sit on top of each other. There's an identity between the two. But in New Covenant theology, there is a connection between Israel and the church, and we'll get to what that is later on. Also, the use of a literal hermeneutic, which in their explanation of what covenantalism sees, is that you have to look at the whole story that has unfolded and understand that there are certain scriptures that should be used to then relate to other scriptures. You use scripture to interpret scripture as a whole. And that in this system, that the New Covenant and New Testament give the best representation of understanding what God has done. And therefore, the New Testament writings are given priority over the Old Testament. And then lastly, Christ, a Christocentric view, a Christ-oriented view. And the New Covenant is the fulfillment of all the covenant promises of God. So these are the basic fundamental tenets of a covenantalism perspective. Now, the main two perspectives, dispensationalism on one side and then covenant theology, these two frameworks really are the dominant way that most Christian denominations and churches and theologians think and explain Scripture. But in recent time, there has been some divergence from these two main schools of thinking. Back in the 1980s, there was a group of people who re-examined dispensational theology and saw a lot of weaknesses with the way that traditional, or what is known as revised dispensationalism, what they were talking about, the way that they saw the Scripture, and so then was born progressive dispensationalism, which, as you see, there's a dotted line here. This dotted line, actually, there's pretty big demarcation between traditional dispensational theology and what progressive dispensationalism affirms. Now, on the other side, covenant theology, there were individuals within the covenant theology camp who in the 80s and 90s also saw problems with that system. And then they pushed away from it and formed a way of understanding Scripture called progressive covenantalism. And as different as progressive dispensationalism is from traditional dispensational theology, is as different as progressive covenantalism is from covenant theology. And so we have these barriers here that are kind of pushing away on these two major ways of understanding Scripture, these two major systems. And actually, progressive dispensationalism and progressive covenantalism are actually pretty close together. But there are a couple major distinctions between the two systems of thought. Now, over here on the side with progressive covenantalism is where New Covenant theology has come from. And the best delineation of what New Covenant theology tries to express that they see in Scripture is found through the form called progressive covenantalism. And so that is going to be the form of New Covenant theology that we're going to try to express here and show in this class, that we think it answers the questions of Scripture and shows the story of redemption better than the other competing or alternative systems. Now, progressive covenantalism, we really haven't delved into kind of what this word means. It really is a mouthful. Progressive covenantalism. I don't know, that's quite a few syllables. As you might remember from a previous session, when we talked about covenantalism and defining covenantalism, covenantalism is a system of thought used to interpret the Bible where the organizing principle of biblical history is covenants. Hence, covenantalism. And covenants are the expressions of and mechanism through which God unfolds his redemptive plan and purpose. And just to review the definition of a covenant, a simple definition is that a covenant is a chosen relationship in which two parties make binding promises to each other. Now, what we haven't covered yet is, what is this progressive business all about? How are they progressive? Well, it's not progressive maybe in the way that modern culture might think of the word progressive. Progressive really just points toward an unfolding or advancing over time. And what it means is that there is a sequence and development to God's plan of redemption, and it happens through covenants. So that is progressive covenantalism. Let me give you a description of the overall system here before we begin talking about it. And I also have on the screen here two of the major works that we're going to be drawing from in order to present the information for this theological framework. Progressive covenantalism is a framework of interpreting the entire story of Scripture, whereby God's one unified plan of redemption is progressively unveiled and accomplished through the biblical covenants, and how all of God's promises are fulfilled in Christ and applied to the church today as God's new covenant people. And the two works, if you want to read them, there's one longer one and one shorter one. The longer one, as has already been presented, is Kingdom Through Covenant by Peter Gentry and Stephen Wellum. This is a massive book, approaching 900 pages. But this book really lays the foundation for understanding how the whole system is pieced together. And we're going to try to be summarizing it for you guys. Another subsequent publication that sort of like points to some of the questions people raised about it is called Progressive Covenantalism. And it's by Stephen Wellum and another editor, Brent Parker. It's a collection of essays that help to explain how progressive covenantalism and New Covenant theology answers some difficult questions in Scripture. All right, so we have dispensational theology that we talked about. We have covenant theology that we talked about. Now we're talking about new covenant theology. And the idea is that it's not like a completely new way of thinking. What progressive covenantalism does as a expression of new covenant theology is it actually takes from both dispensational and covenant theology. Because as Pastor Sean shared, there are strengths to either system, but there also are flaws. So what progressive covenantalists saw is that, there's some things that we think dispensationalists have right. And there are some things that we think covenant theologians have right. Why is it either or? Why don't we bring together these ideas that are mutually helpful? And so really, New Covenant theology is actually a derivation of the best of these two systems of hermeneutics or theological frameworks. New Covenant theology, or as might be abbreviated in this class, NCT, it seeks to merge together the strengths of covenant theology and dispensational theology and discard the weaknesses. So what do I mean by that? What are some of the strengths that progressive covenantalism is drawing from in dispensational theology and covenant theology? Well, under dispensational theology, they see that, well, actually, you know what? There is a difference between the old and new covenant. which in covenant theology, as Sean just explained, they actually see them as being just part of one massive covenant called the covenant of grace. But in dispensational thinking, they're like, no, there was an old covenant and that was distinct. And then God gave a new covenant and that is also distinct. And the two are not the same. There is a connection between the two, but they are not the same. Also, the distinction between Israel and the church, that Israel as a nation is one thing, and the church as a collection of nations is another thing. And they are not the same. Whereas covenant theologians would say Israel is the church, and the church now is just the extension of Israel just doing what it's always been doing. On the covenant theology side, covenant theology says that there is one people of God and one plan of redemption. And this is a good thing, because if you see that God has multiple things going on, well, in Scripture, God only talks about saving a people through grace because they trust in Him. Not that, well, God has one redemptive plan going on for this group of people here, and then God has another redemptive plan over here, and perhaps in the future He'll have a third one over here. It's one people of God. Next, covenant theology is focused on the covenants. Howbeit they construct an artifice to try to bring them all together, they do focus on the covenants in the Scriptures as the basis for redemptive history. And lastly, covenant theology is Christocentric. That means it's Christ-oriented in its approach to Scripture. And that then lends itself to seeing the New Covenant or the New Testament as a priority of revelation and as a fulfillment of what was prophesied of in the Old Testament or under the Old Covenant. Now, how about some of the weaknesses that are to be shed, you could say, or pruned? Well, in dispensational theology, the separation between Israel and the church is a weakness that New Covenant theology says it's not that Israel is one thing and the church is another thing, and then two shall never meet or have nothing to do with each other. Rather, New Covenant theology says that God was working with Israel, and then in the New Covenant, the Gentiles join Israel as God's people and become heirs of the promises. So the dispensational thinking is that the church is a distinct entity that does not have any connection to Israel, and that the church will not receive equally or fully the promises of the Abrahamic covenant. And the church will actually be dissolved into its constituent parts, meaning if you're a Jew or of the nation of Israel, or if you're a Gentile and of the nations of the world, that the church will be dissolved in the future into those parts, and then you will be assigned to your respective allotments depending upon your ethnicity. Under covenant theology, a weakness would be the equivocation of Israel and the church. What this means is that the church began in the Old Testament and there is nothing essentially new regarding the church in the New Testament. And that the church is a mixed community, meaning that as Israel had people who were part of the nation who didn't believe in God, who rebelled in God, who lived lives of flagrant sin, and you had other people who were believers in God, who trusted in God, who obeyed God, but they were all part of the nation of Israel. Covenant theology sees that the church is also this way, that the church as a covenant community that you can enter in through being baptized as a child, and that whether or not you really are a believer or not, you can actually be incorporated into the covenant community. And lastly, the law is still in effect and binding upon Christians. So these are weaknesses of dispensational theology and covenant theology that New Covenant theology has not adopted and has said these are things that need to be shed or need to be pruned off of the way we understand Scripture. So what is progressive covenantalism's major stance? Well, their major stance here, the theological framework, can be summed up in two statements. One, God's redemptive plan unfolds through His covenants. And two, all God's covenants find their fulfillment in Christ. These two major standpoints are what we're going to explain from New Covenant theology, the way that God's redemptive plan has come to its fulfillment in Christ. that it's done through the covenants, and that Christ is the culminating point of that redemptive plan. And this is done through the biblical, or what are called historical covenants. We reviewed this previously under the defining covenant theology session. We have a covenant at the beginning with Adam, implied in scripture, as Sean's going to share next session. We have a Noahic covenant. We have an Abrahamic covenant. We have a covenant with Moses. That's the covenant with Israel, Mosaic covenant. Then we have a covenant that God makes with David for a descendant of his to always sit on his throne, and he will establish his kingdom forever. And then we have the new covenant. So this is basically, in a quick nutshell, what new covenant theology and progressive covenantalism is affirming. So as we started out with talking about these theological frameworks and what they can do, the Bible as being filled with all these pieces of data, as little puzzle pieces, we can now talk about how does new covenant theology and this progressive covenantalism, how does it help us sort out these pieces? How does it give us the border and that we can then fit the picture together? Well, it's based around the covenants that I just listed off. These are the parameters by which we can see the story of redemption and then find out the way into these different parts of that story. And if we have a piece, it might go on one border next to one covenant. Another piece might go next to another covenant on a different border. And so this is the hermeneutic by which we're able to now talk about what God has done throughout time and place it within the scope of a redemptive story. So unfolding the biblical covenants, as we've just been talking about, that if it's through covenants, and we listed off six covenants that are in the scriptures, I think it would be a reductionistic outlook to talk about the covenants in this way, that it's just, there was one, there was another one, and there's a third one. Whoop, put one more in, let a little time go by, we got another one, and let's cap it off. There. We got six covenants. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. Boom. Of course, the covenants happened in temporal, chronological order. They happened in time. But that's not really the point of the covenants. And that's not the way that New Covenant theology is helping us focus on these covenants. Rather, I think the right way to understand the covenants is this way, that there is an upward trajectory to them. So we start with a covenant with Adam that then is broken. A covenant is made with Noah and all creation, which actually is in effect and continuing in effect until the end when the eternal kingdom and the new creation happens. Then there's an Abrahamic covenant. We're stepping further into God's redemptive plan. We come now to the Mosaic covenant, the Davidic covenant, and then ultimately the new covenant. And in the New Covenant theology framework, the New Covenant is actually the place in which all the former covenants will find their fulfillment. That everything God has been doing up to that point will be fulfilled, will find its actual place in redemptive history in the New Covenant. And furthermore, so this type of idea, it lends itself to what progressive covenantalism is trying to affirm. And that is that there is this progression to what is happening. And progression doesn't just mean that it goes from one to the next. It means that there is an interconnection and that these covenants are related to each other in God's one redemptive plan. No covenant is unrelated to what preceded it, and no covenant makes sense apart from its fulfillment in Christ and its understanding of how it is placed within that overall progression of redemptive history. Furthermore, it's not just a progression and an interconnection. There's another element involved that New Covenant theology helps explain. And that is, if you go from one covenant, the Abrahamic, with one family, that then is expanded to a covenant with one nation, which that then is expanded to a covenant with the whole world. We go from the way God works with a person, Abraham, to the way God works with a nation, Israel, to the way then God is working with people from every nation around the world who call upon the name of the Lord Jesus Christ and believe in Yahweh as God. And so this is not just a progression. It is an escalation.
There is a way that the covenants and God's redemptive plan is moving upward and broadening. And that is going to be affirmed through a number of themes in Scripture as we begin to go through the storyline of Scripture based upon the covenants, that we will show how these things are working out in the revelation that God has given. And as we talked about in the previous slide, that the covenants find their fulfillment in the new covenant, what that means is that the covenants find their fulfillment in Christ, who instituted the new covenant. And to be in the new covenant means to be in Christ, means to be connected to Christ. Now, why is that important? That's important because Christ actually fulfills the prophecies of the other covenants, and all the promises of those covenants find their yes and amen in him, because Jesus is the last Adam. The first Adam fell and caused the world to become enslaved to sin. The last Adam is going to free the world from the bondage of sin. Jesus is also the true seed of Abraham. You know, Paul writes in the letter to the Galatians that and he actually quotes Genesis and the promise God made to Abraham when he said that in your seed, all these things will happen. And Paul's like, you know what? That seed is Christ. So all the promises of Abraham, everything in that covenant, and then the descendants of Abraham who are his children by faith, they then are able to be part of that covenant and receive those blessings in Christ, because Christ is that true seed. Christ is also the true Israelite. He is the Israelite, the descendant of Judah, who actually fulfilled the covenant obligations given to Moses, the Mosaic covenant. He fulfilled those. In Matthew chapter 5, it says he is the fulfillment of the law. He's the end. The law finds its end in Christ, because Christ did everything that the law demanded of him. And also, Christ bears the law in himself as he gives us a new law, the law of Christ to live by in the new covenant. And also, Jesus is the true seed of David. The covenant that God made to David, that Jesus is the son of David, who will actually sit on David's throne and will take the place of being the ruler over God's people, and he will have a kingdom that will endure forever. The church is new in the redemptive plan of God as the new covenant community. The church does not replace Israel in new covenant theology. Rather, the Gentiles now join Israel in the new covenant as God's new creation. And Jesus, as the faithful seed of Abraham, and for those who are in Christ, they find themselves to be heirs of all that God promised his people. Thus, now in Christ, believing Israelites and believing Gentiles stand equally together and inherit all of God's promises in Christ. And so this is the basic thrust of New Covenant theology, is that the storyline is anchored in the expansion of the covenants that then find their fulfillment in the new covenant. So I want to close here with the three tenets. These are the three main premises of progressive covenantalism. One, God's one plan is revealed through a plurality of covenants culminating in Christ. The covenants are more than just a unifying theme in Scripture, but they are the backbone to the Bible's redemptive storyline, starting in creation and then ending in Christ. And the Israelite-Christ-Church relationship across redemptive history, meaning that what God was doing in the Old Testament and what God is doing in the New Testament, they're connected. That there's not a disjointing between the two, and there's not any equivocating of the two. That there is actually a tie between the two, where God's plan unfolds, leading to the inclusion of all of creation to be able to be inheritors of God's promises. So that's a snapshot of what New Covenant theology and the form that we're going to be talking about, progressive covenantalism, is all about. And we hope you'll tune in next time as we're going to begin going through the covenants in the Bible to show the way that they're interconnected and related to each other and how they unfold God's magnificent plan to redeem his people and all of creation.